Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Russell Dorsey, national MLB insider for Yahoo Sports.
Counts, you've probably seen everything from your time in baseball, but when you watch a 15-inning elimination game the night before your elimination game, does that make you more or less anxious?
That's a great question.
Insider and analyst for Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV+.
And while it may not be sexy watching it, especially during the postseason, you're starting to see more and more teams go with the opener and using bullpen games in the postseason.
Russell Dorsey on 670 The Score. The
We love talking to Russ Dorsey, and we do so right now. He is the National Baseball Insider at Yahoo Sports. He's an insider and analyst for MLB Network and Friday Night Baseball at Apple TV+. He's a friend of the station, and he joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. He is at Russ_Dorsey1 on Twitter, and he's doing a lot of work on Instagram. Russ, I like the new videos you're creating, talking about decisions that are made in the playoffs and why, and, well, that Brewers and Cubs game. You have a prediction, and your prediction actually hit. Brewers in five are now going to the NLCS. The Cubs season is over.
So here's the thing, Layla, and it's great being on with you guys. A couple things. Number one, you guys using my TikToks in open now? That's funny.
We're supporting you.
It's the world we live in. It's the world we live in now, where you kind of just have to do all this different stuff. Engagement is king. Number two, when I was wrong about the Padres series, Robbie made sure to have my incorrect prediction in the open, but he seems to have forgotten my correct prediction.
Yeah, the file got corrupted. One. Sorry, Russ. Don't know what happened there.
Classic
yeah.
Robbie. Trust me, I've been dealing with this all year.
A likely story. But yeah, guys, like I think I would like to say that I'm some genius or something, but I just looked at the series and said, hey, two teams that know each other, they're going to be momentum swings. We saw momentum swings from both sides, and ultimately the Milwaukee Brewers were the ones that came up on the right end of it, but an extremely entertaining series, and now the Brewers will face off against the Los Angeles Dodgers for a chance to go to the World Series starting tonight.
Russ, I wonder if you see this NLCS as just kind of the juxtaposition of two teams built in violently different ways. And if the Brewers winning this could have some type of chasm effect across all of baseball, or if that even matters at this point.
It's definitely something that I thought about, you know, going into this series. And it's actually something I've been thinking about how to ask Dodgers president of baseball operations, Andrew Friedman, about a little bit later when we talk to him. But yeah, I think you have the classic David versus Goliath matchup in baseball with the highest payroll in the game and the smallest market, honestly, in baseball in the Milwaukee Brewers. And two teams that have become regulars in the postseason that have done it in completely different ways, have had to do it in completely different ways. And I think this series will have shockwaves one way or another. I actually saw Jeff Passan write about that today. And I think it's true. And I think it you look at the series and there's no way you can't think about the economic implications of this series and what it would have on baseball. But no, I think that's something people should have in the back of their minds. Obviously, enjoy the baseball part, enjoy the entertainment part, but also like the implications that this series could have in the future is also very present.
I'd like to the Cubs to be one of those teams that we talk about when it comes to economics. And Russ, I'm looking at the Cubs starting staff next year. Yeah, yeah,
exactly, Russ. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Okay. So I feel really good about the starting staff next year. Justin Steele, Cade Horton, Matthew Boyd, hopefully Shota Imanaga, Jameson Taillon. That's solid. What changes do you think the Cubs consider with their lineup, with their offense?
It's a good question, Groats. I would let's say the easy one would be the removal of Kyle Tucker, not because I don't think he's a good player. It's just I just don't see him coming back to the Chicago Cubs.
Right.
So that's one. You have to find a way to fill that spot, whether you do that internally or externally, remains to be seen. But let's just say you go with one of your kids, whether it's Owen Casey or Kevin Alcantara, that's a lot of production you lose. I know people weren't happy with Kyle Tucker at the end, but when things were going right, he was a big part of it. And so you have to figure out a way to get that production. I also think you have to be realistic about your expectations for Pete Crow Armstrong going into the next season, because you can't assume that you're going to get the first half Pete Crow Armstrong, and that has to go into your calculations as well. So I don't know, Mark, honestly, to be honest with you, because I don't know of the pieces that they have currently under contract, unless you're talking about getting creative and moving a guy, I don't know who that would be, but that seems like the only way that you can really change what you do outside of allowing one of your young prospects to finally get regular playing time.
Or like, you know, like Shaw. I mean, I understand he's a rookie, like the up and down. We talked a little bit about Hap. And Layla, I think you brought it up, same thing that Russ just brought up. Like, I think PCA is a really good major league player, but you gotta be on the lookout.
He has to adjust.
Yeah.
The league has made an adjustment to him. In order for the Cubs to even have a prayer of avoiding having to sign a major slugger like Kyle Tucker, and this is a prayer. I'm not even saying, like, this should not be the plan. But PCA has to adjust to how the league has adjusted to him. Like, that needs to be one of the biggest offseason objectives for the team outside of acquiring talent.
Yeah, I think I look at Pete Crow Armstrong. I think overall, and I know I have talked a lot about PCA struggles. I think when he looks back on this season, he should have a lot of things that he is proud of in terms of establishing himself as a player in the big leagues. And he's going to win a gold glove in center field. That's an accomplishment. I think you saw him, even in the postseason, make a lot of plays that very few center fielders in Major League Baseball make, outside of Seydon Rafaela in Boston, who I believe is the best center fielder in the game right now. Those two dudes are amazing, but I think there are some things Pete will look back on and say, man, like, I got exposed in really big moments. And that's part of what other teams get paid to do, right? Like, other teams are really smart. Other teams have research and data and R&D guys and video guys to say, this is the hole in Pete Crow Armstrong's swing. And if you can execute pitches, that's how you get them out. And that happened a lot in the second half, and that happened a lot in the postseason. So the sign of a good baseball player is the guys who can make adjustments once the league's adjust to them, and we'll find out, you know, what adjustments Pete is going to make in 2026.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I just think when I look at guys who could be available, you go after, if you're not going to keep Kyle Tucker, take that money, that you the AAV of that money, and you got to look at guys like an Alex Bregman again, even though they got outbid by two teams last offseason, but also Kyle Schwarber, Pete Alonso, just get guys. And once you get guys, then you can figure it out. Is that a bad way of doing it? Because the depth or lack thereof for the Cubs this season from a positional standpoint was so daunting to me. I feel like that's something that they could do and be like, all right, Craig, here's better players than you had in Milwaukee. Go cook.
I understand your point. I don't think it necessarily works that way all the time where it's like, all right, we'll just get the good players and then figure it out later. I think you kind of want to have an idea of how the puzzle pieces are going to fit. But I do think you missed on Alex Bregman the first time.
Right.
If I'm Jed, I'm on the phone with Scott Boras today and saying, hey, man, let's run it back and see if we can make something work the second time around. And that might cost them more money this time because they weren't able to do it the first time. But who knows? Like, maybe Alex Bregman opts out anyway and you're in this spot. But I think that's a call you definitely have to make again. I look at the Pete Alonso thing, and I think Pete's a good player. I think you have a fantastic first baseman in Michael Busch that has turned into a better hitter than I ever thought he would be. Like, when they acquired him, I thought, okay, he's a high floor guy, hits for a decent average, commands the strike zone, has a little bit of pop in there. But I didn't see a guy hitting 34 home runs and being the force in at the top and middle of that lineup that he's become. And so,
no, Russ, I'm talking about DH, though, for when I said Alonso. I wasn't talking about first base. Yes, Michael Busch, first base, you're good. But I'm saying go get guys to just help so you can plug in a different DH versus a left-handed, right-handed, pinch-hitting, cool, late in games. All
you
of that.
Still have your you have to move somebody then, because yeah, now that DH spot that you've been using on, say, Suzuki, now
say
becomes
can
a little
play
bit
right field for all I care.
And then you would move those prospects for more and open help, starter,
yes,
like, okay.
Where are you going to fit Schwarber? How is Schwarber going to fit into all this?
I'm not saying you're going to hit on all these guys.
Catcher!
That's it.
I'm not saying you're going to hit on all these guys. I'm saying go after everyone, see what you can get. Like, I think they had a very specific plan last year, and that's why it failed when they traded Cody Bellinger too soon, and, oh, we'll do this and do that. No. No, have guys.
Okay. Yeah, I don't hate, once again, I don't hate your point. I just think you got to be a little bit more calculated in how the pieces are going to fit. Like, you can't just say, I'm going to get good players. Like, that's everybody's plan. But good players have good options too, right? Like, I think people are going to love the idea of bringing Kyle Schwarber back to Chicago. But I think there are a lot of places that could use a Kyle Schwarber that are probably more attractive when you're talking about the ballpark and the fit and everything there, and how Kyle has turned into one of the elite power hitters of this generation away from Wrigley Field. And so I don't know if, you know, you're looking at, and people love to tell me this year how Wrigley Field played in terms of power and all that. Free agents look at that too, and they say, if I'm a 50 homer guy and I had the best power year of my career, I don't know if I necessarily want to go back to Clark and Addison, where that number maybe drops to, you know, 30, you know?
I'm glad you brought that up, Russ, because that was a big part of the season, just overall, when it came to the understanding of what was happening at Wrigley. Like, that wind blew in more than it blew out. And unfortunately, that does affect people's money.
Should. It absolutely should. Where do you think Schwarber is going to go? Do you think he goes back to Philly? I don't think he's coming to the Cubs. I think that even beyond the ballpark stuff, I mean, they non-tendered this guy. He moved on because the Cubs basically discarded him. It would take a lot, I think, to get him back to Wrigley, I think. Is it gonna be the usual, like the Dodgers? Like, he would look real good in a Yankees uniform. I mean, they did call him Babe Ruth when he first came up with the Cubs.
Can I say something gross about the whole non-tender thing?
Yeah.
I know it pisses Cubs fans off that he got non-tendered,
yeah,
and then it turned into this version of Kyle Schwarber. I talked to Kyle the year after, you know, he got non-tendered, and yeah, he was like, hey, man, they gave me every opportunity, and I didn't turn into the player they thought I would be.
Interesting.
And sometimes you get with the right people in the right situations, and maybe you hear the same thing from a different person, and then it clicks. Like, there's no guarantee that Kyle Schwarber turns into this version of himself if he stays with the Chicago Cubs. Like, look at all those guys that
you're right,
Chicago. It didn't really go well.
I'm so glad.
So for Kyle,
yes,
he turned into the better version of himself away from Chicago.
You know what?
It's not to say that he wouldn't come back. And I think guys are open-minded and saying, hey, it's a different situation. I'm a different guy. So you never know.
But like I know that the Cubs still hold Kyle in high regard. And I think Kyle has a lot of respect for the Cubs in that same vein. But look, I think as a guy who is going to be 35, I believe, in Kyle Schwarber, and you're getting, this is going to be the last big deal that you do of your career, you probably want to be very sure of the place that you're going to spend.
Well,
the next,
he's only 32. I want to make sure we get the 32 thing right.
No, all
right,
well cool. Said, man. All
and
so well said.
Last, it's still going to be the last big deal of his career.
Yep.
Because of the type of player that Kyle is. And I still think Kyle is going to be a fantastic player 3 or 4 years from now. But you got to be very strategic if you're him of where you decide to spend the next 3 to 4 years.
The nuance is great there, Russ, and I've tried to tell people versions of that before. All of the Cubs, all of that team, there's a reason why it had to be broken up, because it stopped working, and it stopped working for Kyle Schwarber as well.
And it stopped working once those guys left, too.
So, no, you're right. You're right, Kyle Schwarber. Rizzo for a little while, and not Baez now, but your point is well taken.
Well, cool. Thank you. As long as you understand.
Yes. Yeah, I do. It also sounds like a dude who moved on and moved on well. Russ Dorsey, thank you so much for taking the time. Well, let's do this again sometime. Feels like it might be an exciting couple CSs that we've got ahead of us.
We miss you, Russ.
Yeah, don't give me this whole, Ray, I know you're listening. Don't cut me off now.
Wow.
Like, now that the Cubs got knocked out and y'all just want to talk about the Bears.
Dump them.
Theo Benedict started to talk to your friend Russ anymore. Like, who was here on those lonely days in August when the Cubs office wasn't going well? Your boy. And don't cut me off now that Ben Johnson is making funnies in pressers.
I think
sounds
he's saying,
good to me.
Robbie, don't treat him like a side team.
Don't treat me like a side, man.
You are my side.
Oh, my God.
That is crazy. And I don't like the voice of Jeezy.
Wow.
You know what?
Russ,
we're going to have you on to talk this through. That sounds like a conversation we need to have on air in front of everybody.
Shot in the dark. You want to go see a movie with Robbie sometime?
No.
Okay. Dude, Russ, come on. I'm open. Both my pieces are out.
No.
What?
No.
All right. I've been in this segment before we get in trouble.
I need to.
Get out of here.
Russ Dorsey has been suspended. He's been suspended.
All right, I got to cut us off before we all get too crazy here. We need jobs. I don't know about you guys, but we need jobs.
Jobs are good.
No, what we need is that machine.
That
machine.
Apparently, the meatball machine was plentiful. Robbie?
The meatball machine had some good ones, and I think if you like music, I think the people delivered. So those music fans out there.
Oh, do I got to get XRT going here? What's going on?
I would like to hear Hozier. Hozier? How do you say it?
Hozier. I think it's Hozier.
I don't know.
Hozier. Oh, are you trying to overpronounce Hozier?
No, I don't know. Genuinely just don't know.
Okay.
I like
Here's the Lumineers.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
All right, so Meatball Machine is next here on, by the way, yes, indeed, it is a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Game Day presented by your local Ford dealers and Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Let's do the Meatball Machine next on Raheem Harris and Grody on the Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.